Thank you, Sam, for being up here and making me not feel so alone. I guess I want to commend you as a church this morning to start with everything that's happened in the Bontrager family. Just this morning, seeing some of you ladies gathered around Esther and praying, or I'm not sure if you were praying, but you were hugging her. That's what the body's about. When one hurts, the rest of them hurt. And just to Larry and Esther and the family, we are praying with you. We just ask that God would bring you comfort through this whole situation. It's hard to understand sometimes why God does what he does. Maybe in eternity, we'll find out. And I guess that's a bright spot. I was just reading this morning how we are something that we can look forward to someday, everybody being together. And when you think about that, all those that have gone before, seeing them again and being with our Savior, that's a bright spot in our life. I've titled my message this morning, Words. And I'd like to ask you to stand with me this morning. And we're going to repeat this verse that we have up here on the overhead together. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thank you. You may be seated. This is not exactly our text this morning, but this is kind of the key verse that I'd like for us to keep in focus this morning as we go through our message here. I'd like for you to turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 is known as the chapter that talks about the tongue. It's also a chapter that talks about being a teacher. There's a quote that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." How many of you believe that quote? I see a lot of shaking heads. A very misleading quote. As I was looking at that this past week, I was thinking about words. How can we destroy, or how can we build up? We're talking about working together right now as a church body, building each other up, working together for the kingdom. We can tear each other apart so quickly with words. And I've shared this before, and I guess I'll share it again. It never fails when you prepare for a message that the Lord doesn't get you on your knees first. Clint told me this week, he says, God preaches a message to you every time you prepare for a message. And that we need to hear it first. We can't preach it unless we've heard it. This week I had a very difficult message preached to me. Words. I had to get on my knees and ask the Lord for forgiveness. I got a new outlook on life when I think about words, what they can do, what they can't do. So I want us to think about that this morning. We're going to go to James 3 and just read through a couple of verses here, down to verse 13, 14, maybe 12, we'll see here. And then we'll come back and talk a little bit about what's in here, and I don't want this to take a whole lot of time as far as this chapter goes this morning. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Looking at the tongue, looking at our speech, he pictures here a horse with a bridle in his mouth. Those of you who had horses you grew up with, I had a pony when I was growing up. If that bit wasn't in his mouth, the pony I had was stubborn. If that bit was not in his mouth, I couldn't control him. He went all over the place. Even with the bit in his mouth, there were times when it was difficult. We have a picture here of a ship. I don't like water. I don't know about you, but I don't like the deep waters of the ocean. I went deep sea fishing one time. I was on a boat that was probably about 40 feet. I loved it. Absolutely enjoyed it. But I was thinking about fishing. I wasn't thinking so much about the water. But with the idea of being on a big cruise ship, that's not something that I really would look forward to. A ship is huge. We can have ships that are absolutely huge, and they have a small rudder, maybe two of them. And that rudder is controlling that ship where to go. We have a little member in our mouths, maybe 2 ounces, that can control what direction we go. We can't tame it. Scripture says so right here in verse 5, that we cannot tame, in verse 8, we cannot tame the tongue. Says there in verse 7 that many beasts, all beasts actually, everything has been tamed at one time or another. The tame here that he's talking about is a control, having dominion. You and I cannot tame our tongue. We can try as much as we want to, we cannot do it. But there is somebody who can. And if we are committed to our Savior, then our speech can change. It's full of deadly poison. Picture a pit full of snakes, venomous snakes. I read an article that said the tongue is actually worse than that. We can harm somebody by our speech, by what we have to say. Verse 9 says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Can that be? Can we serve God and have blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth? No, we cannot. It's not going to happen. We are on one side or the other. We're not on both. And if we are cursing, we are not on God's side. Luke 6, verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. What are we putting into our heart? What direction are we going with our heart? Have we asked Jesus into our heart and asked Him to clean it up? And not only to clean it up, but to take residence there. Handing Him the key, telling Him, this is your house. You're not staying in one of my rooms, but this is your house. I am now living for you. When Satan knocks, you answer the door. The good treasure he's talking about here is the love of Christ in us. The evil treasure is the carnality or the sin within us. The New Living Testament says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. So it's very important what is in our heart. That's what's going to come through us. Matthew 12, verse 34 through 37 says, O generation of vipers, How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Excuse me. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. We just read another verse very similar. But then on verse 36, actually, why don't you turn to that? Let's look at that together. Matthew 12, verse 36. I got stuck here on this verse. There's a word in here that I've heard many times before. Verse 36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word. What is an idle word? I remember as a young boy, we had one of the school board members, I think, came to school to have our devotions for us. And he talked about every idle word. And he started listing some words, and I still remember thinking, no, I don't think so. But he was right. Every idle word that men shall speak. What is an idle word? An idle word is a word that really has no meaning. Can we call them filler words that we put into the sentences? It's a useless word, an unnecessary word, an unemployed word. Maybe that'll give you something to think about there. A word that doesn't belong where it's at. It's an unprofitable word. It does absolutely nothing when it comes to bringing across your point. I think we've all heard people share something with us and then they use profanity to emphasize what they said. Idle words. It neither ministers grace nor instruction. Has no value. It can be wicked. It can be injurious. It can be a false testimony against my neighbor. That can all be considered an idle word. He says, every idle word that we speak, we're going to give account of. When? In the day of judgment. That's not me saying that. That's Scripture. That made me think this week. What are the words that I'm sharing? Do they have value? Am I adding words just to emphasize maybe words that have no meaning that actually tear apart? Verse 37 says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." My conversation is either for Christ or it's against Christ. One or the other. There is no in between. I had to think of my words as being an arrow. When it's said, I can't take it back. If somebody heard that word, it's already there. I can get on my knees and I can beg all I want to beg, but that word's gone. And I can no longer take that word back into my mouth. It is gone. How much do I think before I speak? For by thy words thou shalt be justified, declared innocent or free. That is justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned, pronounced guilty. This is not only profanity. We're talking about words that have no value that we could do without. Psalm 51:15 says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Is my goal to have speech that is holy, to have speech that is pure? Am I praying and asking God to direct my speech? Do I want Him to control my tongue? Am I praising Him daily with my speech, with my language? James 5:12 says, But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, nor by any other oath. Let your yea be yea, your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. This word condemnation here is talking about hypocrisy. Adding things to what we say. We'll see this here in James here in just a second, this word hypocrisy. Say what you mean and leave it at that. Don't add a whole bunch of words to affirmation. People will eventually get to know you that what he said, he means. He doesn't need to add to it. James 1 verse 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. This is the hypocrisy we're talking about. A condemnation here. We like to consider some people better than others from time to time because of their religious connection. Maybe they're part of a good ministry. They're well spoken of. Maybe I should say it this way, maybe I shouldn't, but they're part of the upright social club. But if their tongue doesn't speak things of the Lord, it's all hypocrisy. Our words carry life or they carry death. We choose. What are we going to speak? Unless we offer kind words to each other, we're not going to build each other up. I said that already before. But we will tear each other apart. Washington Irving said it this way. He said, a sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener with constant use. The more negative we can speak, the more we can cut. I have a song here. I'm not sure what I did with it. A song here. As I was studying, I was sharing with the family about what I'd like to share, and right away they came up, oh, there's a song about that. So I copied a song here. I'd like to just read part of it. And we think about words. This is actually the title of the song is Words. They've made me feel like a prisoner. Think about the words. They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. Made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I'd never been. And they've dragged me down back to where I began. You can heal the heartache, speak over the fear. God, your voice is the only thing we need to hear. And then the chorus says, words can build us up, words can break us down. Start a fire in our hearts or put it out. Let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't want to say a word unless it points the world back to you. Is my heart's desire for my words to be good? There's a day coming when I'm going to be laying in the coffin. What are they going to say about me? You remember what he used to say? Is it negative? Is it positive? There's a time when I'm going to stand before the judge. I'm going to be judged accordingly. That's what Scripture says. We just read it. I want to look at four ways this morning that we can use the tongue for harm. And I also have with each one of these four items here a positive thing in here that we can do with our tongue. The first one we want to look at is gossip. Harold has preached two messages already about this and they just stick in my mind. But we're human. We need to continually be reminded that this is one thing that we can do with our tongue that is very harmful. Probably one of the most common ways of abusing with our tongue. I don't like to admit that I've been involved in gossip. When it happens, I do my best to make it look like I haven't been there. But it does happen from time to time, probably for each one of us. We need to stay in check. What is gossip? Gossip is saying something negative about a person when they're not present. That's the best time to do it. They're not listening. They don't hear. when they're not present, something negative to say. Maybe it's telling the truth about a person with the intent of causing harm to that person. Most of the time when we talk about somebody in gossip, our intention, we may not speak it, but our intention is quite often harm, making ourselves look better and making them look worse. Maybe it's a false concern. Wonder if George is being faithful to his wife. Just to get a response. Something we can talk about. Maybe we hear something that's not true, but we allow it to continue. In that way, are we promoting gossip? Just a few things to think about. Gossip is very, very destructive. It warps the truth. And maybe that's why it spreads so fast. It feels good to talk about somebody else. Monica mentioned Andy Griffith the other night, Tom being like Andy Griffith. He has one story that he shares about Barney Fife. Some of us know who Barney Fife is. Barney's cleaning his gun. He cuts his finger, a tiny cut. He wraps it up. Word gets to one person in the little town of Mayberry that Barney has cut his finger. And it's pretty bad. Barney ends up at the hospital. And I don't know all the details, but till it's all said and done, it keeps spreading until Barney is pronounced dead. Because he cut his finger. We can laugh at that. But what do I do with gossip? Where do I take it? Do I find the real source and find out, you know, is this something we should really be talking about? Or is it just fun to go to the next person and add a little bit to it? Something to think about. What's a positive thing here? Proverbs 21:23 says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Keepeth here is to guard, to preserve. Allowing God to guard our tongue to say only things that I want others to say about me. Number two is slander. I would have thought slander and gossip go hand in hand. And maybe they do, but there is a difference. Slander can be saying something negative in the presence of another person with the intent of belittling them, making them feel small. What does slander really mean? It means to rip apart. It's not something that we want in our fellowship, is it? To rip each other apart, to make the subject feel of no value, of no importance, not lifting the other person up. Not blessing the other person. We slander. We put others down. We're God's handiwork. When I put down another person, what am I doing? Am I slandering God? Something for us to think about. Maybe it's because of their actions. Maybe I'm trying to make myself feel good because the actions that they've had aren't as good as mine, I think. The positive side of this is Proverbs 15:26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." Speaking pleasant words to each other, about each other, words of grace, offering grace to each other. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Are my words sweet to my brothers and sisters? Am I blessing them in my words? Or am I excited just to tear them apart and to not bless them? Number three is lying and exaggeration. I would never want to admit that I lie. I would never want to admit that I make a story bigger than what it really is. But if we want to have a spiritual body here that is healthy, that is growing, lying and exaggeration cannot be a part of it. We lose trust in each other when we lie. I'm not about to send anybody on any kind of job if I know they're going to lie about it and not be trustworthy. Saying they did the job and come back and it's not completed. We want honesty. We want people of integrity. We want a church body that is healthy. I was going to read this, but time's flying on real quick. But let's think a little bit about Ananias and Sapphira. What happened there? The disciples were at a point here where they were bringing all their money and their funds together, and they were kind of living together here, helping each other out, helping out those that were around him. Here we have Ananias and Sapphira, and they sold a piece of land. They show up with their money. They drop a little bit of the money at the disciples' feet there. That looked good. It really looked good. But what was in their heart was what was not good. They had kept back part of the money, and that was okay. They could have done that. They didn't have to give it all. But they made it look like they gave everything. God hates lying. Ananias never left the place on his own feet. He was carried out. He died because of his dishonesty. 3 hours later, his wife shows up. And they ask her some questions, and she lies about it. Again, she was carried out. God hates lying. It cannot be a part of us. The positive part to this is Ephesians 4:24 says that, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. If the old man is put off, then our words should be words of truth, words of honesty. The fourth and last one I have here is grumbling and complaining. That's an easy one. It's not hard for us to complain about something or to grumble. Yeah, the weather was too cold this winter. That came out of my mouth. Is it too hot now? I heard a guy at Nato Lumber said the first guy that comes in here and talks about the weather being too hot is going to get his ears pulled. We complain. We find something to fuss about. Really boils down to lack of contentment, doesn't it? When I'm not content, I grumble, I complain. Not being satisfied with the blessings we've been blessed with. And we have all been blessed with many, many blessings. We really have. Often when we become unthankful, it's because we've compared ourselves with others. What's the positive one on this? Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think we all know how difficult it is to work around a pessimistic person. We get drugged down. We need to be recharged. It creates an atmosphere of negativism, that brings out the bad side in most everything where we're at. There are good things about everything. There are positive things. Sometimes they're difficult to find. But grumbling and complaining are not going to set things straight. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We are the sons and daughters of Christ. And it should show in our words, shouldn't it? Our words carry life, or they carry death. We need to choose them carefully. I have a few things for us here just to think about. We're not going to get into detail on these. But a few things for us to think about. What are my words doing in my marriage? Am I saying positive words? Am I saying words of love? What about the relationship with my children? Are my words positive? Am I tearing down my children? What are my words? What about the words in the relationship with my church family? Am I blessing them? Those that I'm in contact with throughout the week, would they say when we leave their property that, wow, those were words of blessing? I'd like to end this morning with the verse we have up here again. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's stand for prayer. Father, again, we're so thankful that you do give us a choice, Lord. We can choose to speak life. We can choose to speak death. And Lord, our choice this morning, Lord, is to speak life. But Lord, we can't do it on our own. We ask that you would direct us. Lord, that you would give us the words to speak. That you would help us, Father, to think before we speak, before those words are sent out. We just want to bless you this morning for being our Father, for allowing us, Lord, to be a part of the kingdom. We just thank you, too, also for this food that's been prepared, Lord. We ask that you would bless it. Father, we want to honor you today as we go to sing. And I believe maybe there's a jail service today also, Lord. We ask that your presence would be there. We just commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.